again, Father, that you are in our midst no matter where we are. Father, we thank you that you sent your Spirit to just encourage us, bless us, empower us. And Father, I thank you for all of your promises that are in your word. God, I pray today that we would just be blessed, be encouraged by your word as we dive in. And Father, I pray that you will just pinpoint our focus on you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I made mention this week in the weekly videos and in our talks, we're starting a series right now called The Ultimate Warrior. And it's kind of funny. Well, not funny, haha, but just one of those things. So I used to really like to watch wrestling, WWF, WWE, WCW. Maybe you think I'm crazy because I know what these acronyms are and you think, that's weird. What type of loser are you? But that's okay. I loved wrestling. And this past week, one of the old ring announcers when I was a kid, Howard Finkel, the Fink, he passed away. But I remember when this wrestler named The Ultimate Warrior would come out and he'd be like, The Ultimate Warrior! And that's how I picture when we go into life, into daily life. In my head, I'm like, yeah, I am The Ultimate Warrior. And I want you all at the end of this series and even at the end of today to feel like The Ultimate Warrior. I hope that wasn't too loud in your microphone or in your ears and in your speakers. But he would just do it, and it was something that when he would say that, I would just get fired up as a kid because I knew at that moment the Ultimate Warrior with ribbons around his arms, around his biceps, would come running down with his crazy face paint, and he'd run around the ring like a maniac, and he'd shake the ropes, and he'd just get pumped up and fired up and ready to go to do battle. And that's what warriors do. We do battle, don't we? So I don't want to scare you off today by my wrestling analogy, but that's kind of what goes through my head when I think of The Ultimate Warrior. And this morning's message in particular is called Warrior for the Kingdom. We are warriors for the kingdom. And I'm excited to share this with you guys because it's something that I've been really passionate about is being warriors for the kingdom. We're warriors for the kingdom of God here on earth as we do battle, as we do life, and as the Lord's Prayer has taught us, he was to bring heaven or bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And that's what we're a part of. We're part of that heritage. We're part of that lineage. So I pray today that you get excited with me. And maybe when you walk around and maybe when I see you, maybe you'll hear me give you, here is the ultimate warrior. Okay, that's probably going to be the last time I do it this morning, maybe. But it's just exciting. So this is a series that I pray encourages you to look at the world and the challenges that may come up and experience victory through faith and through love. That's what I want for you. I believe, and I've preached this a couple times, that I believe that we as believers give the devil too much credit. And at the end of this series, I want us to be the ultimate warrior who forcefully advance the kingdom of God by advancing intentionally the way God called us to live. We need to wage war on how Satan has kind of blinded us, how Satan has kind of, you know, made us feel like we're inadequate, we don't have power, we don't have authority, and we take that on, and we need to shed that. We need to advance the kingdom, and we need to believe that what he says is true about us. Amen? He has promises, and he says things in Scripture like, Jesus has said things in Scripture like, you will do greater things than I did. Well, do we believe that we'll do greater things? We sang a song a few weeks ago, and we've sung it a number of times in church, that we believe that we'll do greater things. And we believe that we'll see miracles. So this is all part of this warrior mentality. I believe that the world needs heroes. The world needs a hero. And more than that, the world is crying out for heroes. If you look at cultures around the world, they all have icons, they all have legends, they all have a larger-than-life story, stories that get retold time and time again, kind of like I just told you this story about the ultimate warrior. We have war heroes, some are political figures. Think about England and guys like Winston Churchill. We have people in the United States with like George Washington, and Scotland with William Wallace. That was probably the best Scottish accent, even though you might not have even heard the Scottish accent that you'll get. But we have guys like William Wallace, Canada. We might have heroes in some respects with people like Louis Riel or Alexander Graham Bell, Sir John A. Macdonald, Frederick Banting, Lester Pearson, to just name a few. And maybe some of those guys, you're like, oh, that's not my hero. But some people, they are. And as time has gone on, we have maybe shifted to sports heroes. We have the Wayne Gretzky's, the Michael Jordans, the Muhammad Ali's, the Ultimate Warriors, the Lionel Messi's. We have the Roger Clemens. We have the Brett Favre's. We have the Bret Hart's, even if you want to talk about wrestling. And then you have movie figures like George Clooney, Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington, maybe Seth Rogen, Ryan Reynolds, Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lawrence, and so many more, right? You could just list on and on and on all these people that many have just elevated to this hero status because we're searching. You got musicians like Bono, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift. I don't know how Justin Bieber, but anyway, we're not going to go there. That's not the purpose this morning. I didn't give you an exhaustive list. I just rattled some names off the top of my head that I could think of, but that some people may consider to be a hero. But the thing is these individuals all fall short of what we need and what we need as a spiritual hero. You know, I think about time and time again even, probably one of the biggest movie franchises there is what? It's the Marvel, right? It's Marvel, and they're superheroes because we are, in our minds, need heroes. We need a superhero for some reason. And we're going to talk about why. But once again, those heroes are just imaginary, those superheroes. But we need spiritual heroes. And although many of the real-life heroes have accomplished something in this world, they fail to impact compared to those that have accomplished great things for the kingdom of God. So I want to read, I have a lot of reading this morning to start off, and we're going to start off by reading Hebrews 11. So bear with me. I've got a lot. I'm just going to take a drink because we're going to read 12 verses right off the bat. Okay. Let's go. Hebrews 11, 1 to 12. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." I'm going to do this because it's easier. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And though his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning things as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many of the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore." That's a lot. And if we keep reading, we're going to jump now to Hebrews 11, 17 to 34. Now, here's where we get into the really long reading. Bear with me. If we start reading in verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, was in the act of the offering up his only son, of whom it was said, though through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of the staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wreath than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of the weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight." It's a lot of reading, but I pray that even just reading that today, you are encouraged, you are blessed, and you are excited. You know, as I read that, I just get fired up. I get goosebumps. I've got goosebumps just thinking about those men and their faith. From what we just read, these are amazing heroes of faith, aren't they? They're spiritual heroes, but there are some even that missed that list, and like they said, we just couldn't hit it all on that list. See, there's a new generation of spiritual heroes which were found in the New Testament. We got guys like Peter, the rock on which Christ built his church, and we can talk about that another time. We got John, the beloved, resting his head on Jesus' shoulder. We got the Apostle Paul fearlessly preaching the gospel. We got John the Baptist foretelling the arrival of the Messiah. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Barnabas, the encourager. Timothy, the young pastor. Luke, Dr. Luke, the faithful scribe and doctor. And that's just to name a few from the New Testament. And then we have people today. And if you look at the world around us, we got people of faith like Rick Joyner and Bob Jones and Patricia King, all these prophetic people that walk in those gifts. And then we obviously had guys like Billy Graham who walked in this gift of evangelism and were a hero of faith. And then we have people even outside of that aren't even as famous or aren't famous or we don't even know about that are planting churches, that are involved in church growth, that are involved in the mission and vision of church here in Canada, the call that Jesus gave us back in his word to spread the gospel and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That's our goal, that's our mission, that's our vision as a church, is to do that. And I want to encourage you all today to do that, to make disciples who make disciples. I want you to be an encouragement, not to build your kingdom, but to build Jesus' kingdom. Amen? Amen. I believe that the list from Hebrews 11 is an ongoing list. That's why I shared about these church planters and these prophets and evangelists from today. There's even guys like Angus Bakken, South African. And some people just love him. And I really appreciate Angus and his desire to just build a people of God and men of God. And I read a lot of his devotionals and just am encouraged by his word. And, you know, another great hero of the faith. And these heroes of faith, they pass the torch from generation to generation. And I'm so blessed by so many people in our congregation that are just looking to pass that torch and share the passion, share the fire of Jesus, share who Jesus is with each other and with others outside of our walls of our church. And I'm very encouraged by that. We have heroes of faith in our own walls. That's exciting. But there are some of us that are still just working at that and trying to figure it all out. So I pray that as we continue to walk through this, you really gain your passion, you really gain your understanding about being a hero of faith and what that means and being a warrior for the kingdom. See, now is the time. Now is the time for us to decide to take it and for us to step forward and be spiritual warriors that we are called to be. I believe that we are here for times such as now to be warriors, to minister, to encourage. It's our world is calling out for heroes. Our world is calling out for people that just to encourage us. And now is the time to step up and be that. Amen? See, there was a song when I was a kid. And maybe you know this song. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But it's this song about I'm part of the Lord's army. And I got to look up the words because it's been so long since I sang it. It says, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never, and I'm not going to do all the action, soar over the enemy, but I'm one of the Lord's, or I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. And we talk about never marching in the infantry, riding in the cavalry, shooting that artillery, but I am in the Lord's army. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I joined Team Jesus, right? And as I got older, the song changed a little bit. It became, maybe you don't know this one for sure, probably, but it was, I'm one of the Lord's heroes. And it talks about how I may never stretch like Plastic Man, flex like He-Man, Inspector Gadget is no match for who I am, because I'm one of the Lord's heroes. And I pray that you have this desire to be one of the Lord's heroes, to not only be in the army of God, but to join one of the, and become a special force for God, to be tactically engaged, because that's what special forces do. They tactically engage the battle. See, every Christian is a soldier in the army of God. All soldiers, as soldiers, were called to counter evil with goodness that only can come from God. Amen? So no matter what situation a Christian soldier is in, we need to live from the Spirit of God, from the Holy Spirit. We need to take our marching orders and our stepping orders from the Holy Spirit. God will lead us through the Holy Spirit to what we need to do and how we need to act and give us wisdom and this mission and vision. We need to be soldiers who bless everyone around us and contribute to a positive atmosphere wherever we go, whether we're at the co-op, whether we're at the gas station, wherever we might be. Maybe we're at the PharmaSave or at the Highway Host. We are bringing this positive atmosphere with us. See, Ephesians 2:2 tells us this. It tells us that the devil is the prince of the air. That means he lives in the atmosphere. And because he is in the atmosphere, he operates to change the climate of faith into a climate of unbelief or disbelief. He aims to alter the mood of the people by changing the atmosphere around them and maybe help them drift away from this idea. He's not changing your mind. He's changing the atmosphere around you, which allows you to change your mind and your perspective away from the fruit of the Spirit to one that is negative. See, Satan wants to release our flesh instead of our true spirit. And what do I mean by that? Because it's fleshly to doubt. It's fleshly to not fully believe. It's fleshly to get scared. It's fleshly to do all these things that are of the earth. But boy, when we operate in the Spirit, we don't have fear. We have joy. We don't have anger. We're not walking around all grumpy and stomping our feet. We are walking around with joy, aren't we? When we walk by the Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to really just lead us and guide us, and when we live by the Spirit of Christ that has come in us, when we accepted Jesus and when we became a Christian. See, anytime the Satan is able to manipulate the air around us, or the atmosphere around us, and make us take our focus off of him, or allow us to take his focus off of God and onto Satan and the negativity, he achieves his purpose temporarily. See, the enemy knows he doesn't need to defeat the church. He only needs to deflect it from our God-given destiny. What is our God-given destiny? It is to be one of the Lord's army, and it is to be special forces for him, and tactically and moving forward with purpose and vision and direction for him, for Jesus. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." We need to stay on as believers and join the fight and not put on that yoke of slavery. See, we're free. When we became believers, when we accepted Christ, we became free because Jesus, as we talked about on Easter Sunday, he paid the price, didn't he? He paid the ultimate price to give us eternal life, which means the shackles are gone. We're not imprisoned by death, but we are free men and women because of Christ. And as soldiers who are free, the best way we can go on the offensive in this life of warfare is to change the atmosphere around us. So what do I mean by that? It means we need to go into all situations prayerfully. We need to go into all situations and all places we go joyfully and prayerfully. We need to go into these places and share the joy that the Lord has given us. And when you go home or you go to work or you go to the grocery store, we need to bring the presence of God with us everywhere we go. Because when we're in the presence of God, I don't want to discredit this, but it's like you're in a God bubble. And how can you be attacked when you're in the bubble? You can't, because you're protected. There may be things that try to come against you, but that bubble's got you. And you know that God has you. And we need to make steps with wisdom and purpose for him. Now, I'm not saying go roll in front in your bubble into front of cars and see if you don't get hit. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have his protection. We have his vision, and we have his joy. We have all these things that we can go out and prayerfully go into places and have a God atmosphere around us. We need to release the blessings that Jesus has given us to every person we come in contact with. And even more than that, we need to not even just release those blessings, but we need to be willing to accept those blessings from him. All those promises from Scripture, we need to be willing to take them and accept them and take them as he's given them to us from Scripture. Those promises are for us. See, and the other thing is we are ambassadors of Christ. So wherever we go, we need to bring in that Spirit of Christ with us. We are ambassadors also of reconciliation because we're ambassadors of Christ. We're representing joy. We're representing our joyful, gracious, merciful King, Jesus, who paid the price for freedom and blessings. Amen? So the plan of the enemy is to try to take away our faith, our hope, our joy, and fill us with despair and doubt. That's why when we go somewhere, we want to bring in that atmosphere, that positive atmosphere of Jesus. We need to position ourselves daily with Christ. And when we spend time with Jesus every day, and before we go into places and situations, we need to go in with Jesus. That means pray, spend time in prayer, and tactically pray that Jesus will lead you in the situation and be with you, protect you, and guide you. We want to allow Christ to be seen by others, don't we? And I remember this verse from 1 John every day when I go out and when I'm doing things, and it says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John 4:4. And That scripture, 1 John 4:4, that isn't up yet. We'll have it up here in a second. Oh, it's not on there? Weird. Okay, well, 1 John 4:4, I don't know how it didn't get up there. I apologize. So it says, little children, you are who are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Jesus is in us. The Spirit is in us. And when you go out into situations, you don't need to say, well, how's this all going to work out? I hope it works out good. But you can go into a situation, you can prayerfully go in, and you can advance the kingdom because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? And we can live with that, and we can be joyful because of that, and we can go into situations confidently knowing that he who is in me, he who is in you, when you accept Jesus, is greater than Satan, he who is in the world, he who is in the atmosphere. You know that Jesus is greater. See, when we go in confidently, when we go in tactically, when we go in the way that we are called to go in, and we go into the world, we are called to be kingdom people, aren't we? We're called to be kingdom people. And as we grow into warriors and become the special forces for the kingdom, we are here for a mission, and that mission is to advance the kingdom. We are here for community. We're here for each other, but we need to be here for kingdom. And Jesus spoke all about the kingdom throughout Scripture and throughout the Gospels, and kingdom is spoken about in so many different places in the New Testament, yet it's something and one of those pieces that so many people don't understand or we don't talk about often enough. See, we want to be a group, a church that is about kingdom, don't we? We want to be a place of intimate devotion to our King, to Jesus, right? Amen? We need to be a place of fellowship where when we get together again, when we're able to gather together, we're going to have a good old meal together, and we're going to fellowship, and we're going to visit, and we're going to talk, and that's why we did the virtual foyer this morning, and that's why we did our Wednesday midweek meet, is to fellowship and to encourage each other. And that's why we also did the prayer time on Monday, and we're going to do it again this week. It's about encouraging, it's about fellowshipping together. And we're also going to dream together. We need to dream together. We need to spend time praying and focusing on the things of God and just looking to see what he has for us as a body and for you individually. We need to dream. We need to be a people who are prepared for a life of destiny. See, God's promised all these things in Scripture, hasn't he? And all those things are there for us. If we walk in them, if we want to step forward and we want to walk in his promises. If you don't want to walk in his promises, it really becomes sad. It becomes a challenge because his promises are so great. His promises are amazing if you read through Scripture. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to. And if you have questions about that, we would love to talk to you more. Christ has promises all throughout Scripture, and we've talked about that the past number of weeks even, about the promises of God. And we need to walk in those. See, we need to think big, right? We need to be a people who are here to discover our inheritance that God has given us in these promises and in his word. And we need to live lives of favor. We need to live lives of abundance and not a life of poverty. I want us as a church, like I said just a few moments ago, I want us as a church to dream. I want us to dream. He has so many good things for us as a church and as for you as individuals. And we need to start walking and living those dreams that he's given us. To think big thoughts and experience all of the goodness of God. So many of us live in, and how I talked about earlier about having this bubble and we're walking in his spirit and in his joy, but so many of us walk in a bubble of, this is all he's got for me. He's got so much more for us, and we need to walk in that, amen? We need to think these big thoughts and experience all of his goodness. I want us to begin to realign and rediscover the meaning of friendships, relationship, and love with the Father, with God the Father, with His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. I want us to realign, and I want us to just understand and discover that, rediscover it if we need to. See, this isn't about religion this morning. This is for the kingdom. And I want us to start or to continue to deep dive into the passion for an intimate relationship with God and with each other. I want us to reignite that passion again. And if you're new to the family of God, if you're a new believer, I want you to really spend some time in His Word and connecting with us about just reigniting or igniting that passion. I believe that as we do this, we will see beyond the church and discover a deeper power of the kingdom. And you may say that's a weird time to start talking about this right now while we're not together, but I think it's actually a perfect time because a lot of us are just sitting at home. A lot of you are sitting at home and like, oh, what am I going to do? Let me see if there's another thing to do. Oh, check out YouTube. Let's see how many cats we can see making things at the window. I don't know, but it's the perfect time for you to spend time in His Word and to get to know Him, to God, in a unique and passionate way. I want to encourage you. See, it's time for us to be released and do the work of the church wherever we're at. So even though we're not gathering here together in the church building, we're being the church everywhere we go. And that's exciting. I'm excited to walk and journey together as the church and move forward into becoming the warriors for the kingdom that He has called us to be. And we are called to be kingdom people. Amen? So as you go today, I want to encourage you to start having those kingdom conversations in your house and with others from the church during our chat times and as we visit. Maybe give somebody a call and have a kingdom conversation, because now is the time. The world needs our encouragement. Our community needs our encouragement, and we need the encouragement of each other. So let's pray, and I'm going to send you guys on your way today. Father God, we love You. We honor You, God. And God, today as we talked about kingdom and Your kingdom, we pray that Your kingdom will come here on earth. And we pray that we would be part of Your plan to usher in kingdom here on earth and more of what it's like in heaven here on earth. Father, I pray that we would live according to Your scriptures. Father, I pray that each and every person listening to this message or watching this message, Father, would begin to understand and want to take the promises that You've given us in Your Word. And Father, that we would grab onto them and take them and own them, Father, that we would take that open heaven that's been promised and that we would walk forward with it and walk in Your blessings, God. Father, we thank You for all You do for us, God. We thank You that You've given us these promises. We thank You that You love us, and I pray that You would just encourage and bless each and every person today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go, one thing I haven't done is I haven't given you an opportunity. If you're listening to this for the first time, or if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, we're going to take that moment right now. So if you haven't done it before, if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, if you haven't asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, we're going to take a moment here right now, and we are going to do this. So all you have to do is repeat after me this prayer if you want to do this. And it's not complicated. It's very easy. And then all I want you to do after you pray this prayer is I want you to call me. And let's talk. And I want to encourage you, and I want to give you a Bible. So if you're ready to cross that line and become a believer in Jesus, let's pray this prayer right now. Bow your heads, everyone, and repeat after me if you're saying this prayer for the first time. If you want to know Jesus, dear God, I know that my sin has separated me from You. Thank You, Jesus, for dying in my place. I ask You, Jesus, to forgive my sins and come into my life. Please direct my life, God. Help me connect with people who can connect me closer to You, who can teach me about kingdom and about Your promises. Thank You, God, for giving me eternal life, a newfound joy, and for welcoming me into Your army. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, thank you guys for praying that prayer. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus and you just said, yeah, I'm in on the army, then call me at the church. You can call me right now, 306-882-2453, or you can email me at lead, L-E-A-D, at rosetownchurch.ca, or you can message me on Facebook, or if you're really excited, you can put it in the comments of YouTube or of Facebook, and I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to bless you with a Bible, or if you're in another town other than Rosetown, I'd love to connect you with a Bible-based, God-believing church, wherever you might be. So please don't hesitate to contact me. And remember, we are called to be kingdom people. Amen? You have a great day being a kingdom person. God bless you.